1 John chapter 5 for a text, and then we're going to go and document what's on our heart from the Old Testament and the New Testament alike. 1 John chapter 5, start in verse number 12. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 12. If you're there, say amen. Amen. He that hath the Son hath life. Say, that's me. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. That name of Jesus, that name of, that's above all other names. Verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, in Jesus, that if we ask anything, according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we asked, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Brother Corey, would you pray?
Yes. Will take root. The fruits will grow deep. And the enemy, the adversary, will not have a chance to come and pluck it up. But that it will take deep root.
Yes.
And we will know and understand your truth and be led into all truth according to your spirit. It's in Jesus' name that we pray.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Corey. Thank you for honoring the word. Hallelujah. So you and I, being born from above, being blood bought by the blood of Jesus, you know, He has gave us the authorization to use that name. And in our prayer life, we have the ability to pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. And we have, by that very unction, being led by the Spirit of God, we have the authorization and we have the unction to pray the Word of God. And when we pray the Word of God, we have the assurance from our text that we just read, that God hears us. And when we know that God hears us, we know that we have those petitions, those things that we had laid on the very altar. So we have an assurance here. This is a positive. And so we got to stand on that name of Jesus. But at the same time, we've got to understand that when we pray, our Father, He loves us. Jeremiah, the prophet, said, with an everlasting love. And we know that Jesus is touched with our feelings, with our emotions, and all of these things. And so, I want you to listen with your heart now. And I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to discourage anybody. But you have a great power in being able to pray in this name of Jesus. But with that great power comes great responsibility. And so we've got to be cautious how we pray. We've got to be cautious that we know what the will of the Father is for our life and for the destiny. Say, I've got a destiny. There's some things that I, in the natural, that I don't like and I would like to get out of it. And God gave me the opportunity. He gave me the option to get out of it. And the moment that He gave me that leave, I felt the protective hand of God come off. I felt vulnerable like never before. And I recognized and realized how quickly, by praying selfish prayers and by looking things through our own eyes, that we can get out of the will of God and we can open ourselves up to the plan of the enemy. And so tonight, I want us to understand that, yes, we have this name and we have the Spirit of God to lead us in the Word of God, but we've got to know that you and I, we can pray an acceptable prayer, we can pray a permissive prayer, or we can pray the prayer of the perfect will of God. And when we come to that place where we pray the perfected will of God, then we have the assurance that we're going to get what God wants, not just for our life, but in and through our lives, what's best. Amen? So let's document that first. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. We're going to spend just a moment here laying a foundation. In Romans chapter 12, you know these scriptures very well. We refer to them all the time, but there's kind of a very foundational point in our life to make sure that we're in the will of God. Romans 12 and 1, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Rome by the Spirit of God, he says, I beseech, I call you near. In other words, I'm spirit to spirit. I'm calling you near, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Better said, which is your reasonable worship. Because that word service is temple worship. And so I want you to see tonight that God is wanting us to get closer to Him than we've ever been before. Because in this day and age, we've got to be so close to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there is so much deception, and there's never been a time in history where there is so many souls is depending upon you and I walking with Jesus and doing the will of the Father. Amen? And so you and I, we've got to be in this place where we anything that argues with the truth that you know in your spirit, you and I, we need to lay it on God's altar. Come on, this is what he's talking about. We need to lay some things down, and it'll be like a sacrifice to God. And every time a sacrifice is offered to God, he's got something that's better and better and better and better. Amen? Those things that I've tried to hold on to or hold on to, they didn't compare to anything that God had. Amen? All right. He says in verse number 2, he said, and be not conformed, don't be fashioned like this world, but be ye transformed. Let there be a metamorphosis. The same way that your spirit, when you got born again, when you believed in the heart and confessed with the mouth, Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and you were born again, baptized into the body of Christ, that same miraculous thing that happened there, let that happen in your soul life. Come on, we're talking about the body's being crucified. It's being laid on the sacrificial altar in our temple worship and our worship to the Lord. But our soul can be made new just like our spirit. But it's your responsibility. It's my responsibility to do that. God gives us a brand new spirit. But we've got to take care of the flesh on the altar. That's the only way it can be done, the type of the cross. And then we've got to let the Word of God come into our heart for this new soul. He said, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, we've then looked that you and I, we can pray according to the will of God. And if we pray according to the will of God, we know He hears us. And if He hears us, then we know that we get what we pray. Well, right here, we understand that He said that there is a good and acceptable and a perfect. Now, in all honesty with you and standing before you in all humility, there has been so many times I've settled for less than perfect. And as I prayed that prayer of what was less than perfect in the name of Jesus, I got what according to I prayed. Amen? And so we're going to look in and through the Word of God, and we're going to learn. Paul wrote to us, and he told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he told us in this same book of Romans chapter 15, verse number 3, he said, whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, our admonition, that what happened to those people don't have to happen to us. That we can learn from their mistakes, or we can build on their successes. And so I want us to look at some things. I want us to see. So you take home with you right now what we've documented. God wants us in His perfect will. But to be in His perfect will, we've got to renew our mind. That means I've got to take out my way of thinking, my way of understanding, my own desires, and I've got to put in the Word of God. And when I put in the Word of God, it'll change all of that. All of a sudden, I want what God wants. Now I've been in a struggle because there have been some things that I want that's not necessarily bad, but they're not beneficial to the plan of God. And so I've looked at those things, and God will let me have them. But if I take those things, they will be a substitution to the best that God has for me. But he's going to allow me to do that. And I almost made a wrong decision. I almost stepped into something that I would not have been able to step out of, and it would have altered the very destiny of what God wanted to do in and through my life. So this is serious business tonight. You and I need to be in the place where we're hearing by the Spirit of God. And I don't want you to be discouraged. I want you to be encouraged, because God's telling us that we can have His perfect will. Amen? Amen. All right. Let's go to the Old Testament. Let's go to 1 Samuel. And let's learn from some examples. How many knows that the Word of God is here to build us up? Amen? In 1 Samuel chapter 8, let's look at an example of how God's people, how they prayed out of their own heart and not out of the perfected will of God, and how it became a hindrance to them even up to this day, if you will. All right, 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse number 1. And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. How many knows you can't put somebody in a place that God's got to do it? Been a lot of people who've been called to preach by somebody that other than God, and it didn't work. Been a lot of people who've been put in places and positions inside of the church. I made a decision that I thought I was being led by the Lord over in the valley, and it took God 2 years to get me out of that mess. 2 years of heartache, 2 years of tears, 2 years of wearing my knees out, 2 years of trying to figure out how I was going to make it right, and I couldn't make it right, but God finally did. But I didn't have to go through that, but I prayed what? I prayed, God answered the prayer, but it was out of not the perfect will of God, it was just out of the acceptable will of God. Come on, I'm wanting you not to go through some things, okay? I'm being honest with you, and I want you to be in a place and a position where you can sidestep some tactics of the enemy. All right. Verse number 2. Now the name of the firstborn was Joel, and the name of the second was Abiah, and they were judges in Beersheba. We don't have time for that. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and they took bribes, and they perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel under Ramah. Now, the reason why I want you to look at this, Samuel is a prophet. He is a good servant of the Lord. He loves the Lord with all of his heart. But you see how doing something without asking God has consequences. He didn't ask God about this. He put them in this place, in this position, and all of a sudden, what they have done has moved and motivated the whole body of Israel to make a bad decision. That's why I said I almost made a decision that would have been more than affect me. It would affect each and every one of you. And then I would be held accountable for it. Amen? So I want you to see this in your heart. Verse number 5. And they said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all nations. Now when God saved Israel, we won't take time to look at it, but when he brought them into the place and the position of calling them, naming them his own people, a peculiar people, you look in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses about 14 through 19, and you'll see that God said, I don't want you to be like other nations. I don't want you to have a government like them. I don't want you to think like them. I don't want you to act like them. I don't want you to talk like them. Because the reason why you're moving into this promised land is because of their failures. And so I remove those nations. And if you do what those nations did, then you're going to fail as well. Amen? But here they are. They come to him and they said, We want a king. We want to be just like everybody else. Verse number 6. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people, in that all that they say unto me, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. And so we won't take time. You look at it in your home study time. God gives him a message and he tells him, he said, You go tell the people this is what's going to happen if they put a king over them. They're going to lose their finances. They're going to lose their family, their children. They're going to be indebted in all of these ways and all of these things. And he goes and he takes that message to him, drop down to verse 19. And after he gave him the message from the Lord, Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, Nay, but we will, our will, we will have a king over us. That we, verse 20, that we may be like all the nations, that our king might judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice. Was this God's will? Did God give them what they prayed? Hearken unto their voice and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go you every man into his own city. And so they went from a theocracy to God Almighty being over them to taking a man over them and having being a monarchy. God doesn't want a king over us in the natural. He wants to be the one that calls the shots in your life and my life. Amen? And so we know that God hears us. God loves His children. He wants to answer your prayers. God's not some mean God that is trying to keep something from us. He's trying to get the best He's got to us. Amen? All right, let's look at another example. Go with me to 2 Samuel. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, we're going to chapter 12, but chapter 11, you know it's a story about David sinning with Bathsheba. And what happened, all of that happened there. But in chapter 12, Nathan the prophet comes to David to bring a word of correction to him. And David, he repents. Because let's, for sake of time, drop down to verse 13. 2 Samuel 13, verse number 12. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Now, aren't you glad that when we make a mistake, all we have to do is just confess our sin? Come on, even here under the Old Testament, but you and I, we're in the dispensation of grace. We're in the New Testament, and we have that ability that when we make confession, when we repent, God wipes it out, blots it out with the blood of Jesus. Amen? Amen. David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Verse 14, howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed into his house, and the Lord struck, the Lord allowed the child to be stricken. That I want you to mark this down in your Bible. Notice, if you notice this, there's only one time that Bathsheba is called David's wife. Look what it says. And the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. And David therefore besought God for the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of the house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. In verse 18, and it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. Now, we know that God commanded man and woman to come together and to make a family, husband and wife, and to go and replenish the earth. We know that it's God's will for us to be fruitful and to multiply. We know that there's souls waiting in heaven to be born tonight. Amen? And why do you think the devil is bringing abortion at the rate he is? Why do you think he's bringing perversion and putting his form of household together? Because when the last soul is born, I'm telling you, that's when time as we know it is going to stop. Come on now, there's the predetermined. God knows all souls are mine, right? That's what God said. He knows, and He's got it all planned out to where each one is going to be born at a specific time. But here David is, getting on a sidetrack, I understand that. But here David is, he has prayed the will of the Father. Come on, the will of the Father in his mind is, God's heard my prayer before. But you know, here's what the Spirit of God told me to tell you on the way here. Sometimes God says no. There's a reason. God's a good God. We've got to believe that. The Lord is a good God. So there's a reason. It's not that He's not being good to me. He's not being good to you. There is a reason, a purpose behind it. Amen? Now notice, the prophet told David once again, in verse 14. He said, "The child also is born of these shall surely die," because this child would have been used by the enemy to hinder David and to hinder the testimony of David and his kingdom all the rest of his life. Now, I know that's hard for us to understand, but God is a good God. Amen? And so David, he gets down and he fasts and he lays in the dirt trying to change God's mind. He goes on, separates himself from food for all of these days here and all of these things, but yet the child still dies. Sometimes God says no, okay? Now, notice, when after David had made everything right and he found out the child was dead, he come up and he put on his worship clothes, he put on the worship attitude, and he comes and he eats before the Lord in the sacrificial meal. And it says in verse 24, he says in verse 23, he said, he spoke out of faith. He said that the child's not coming back here, but he said, I know that we're going to be reunited. That's our confidence. We know that God's a good God. You and I, sometimes every one of us in here, we prayed for our loved ones and it didn't work out the way we wanted. But we know that we serve a God who knows where every soul is. He knows where every body part is. He's going to put everything back together. Amen? And so that's what David says there. But notice what happens. When David gets his mind on the Lord, verse 24, "And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went into her." Now we're talking about this is a great deal period of time, "and went into her and lay with her, and she bare a son. And he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him." So they named him Solomon. Solomon means akin to the shalom, meaning peace, peaceful. So they had a name for him, but the Lord loved him. But look what it says in verse 25. "And he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he called his name Jedidiah, because of the Lord." So you and I, we can name things what we want, but ultimately God's going to have the last say. Okay, so he is Solomon according to them, but according to God, he is Jedidiah. He is beloved of the Lord. And he was moved in to become a type of Christ. In the kingdom of Israel, they had rest. And they exceeded all expectations and they abounded. God wants you to have rest. In Jesus Christ, you can have rest, you can have peace, and you can exceed all limitations this world wants to put on you, because this world is not your source. Come on now. God can take everything about your life and make it abound. But in the meantime, we've got to keep our eyes on Him, and we've got to come into the perfected will of God and pray according to what the Spirit lays on our heart, where we won't come up short. Amen? All right, let's go to the New Testament. Let's see some things that will help us here. Go with me to Acts 16. Let's see how the Apostle Paul, the Spirit of God led him and directed him, guided him, and said no to him in a couple places he was going to go and a couple things he was going to do. And so you and I, we may be in a place where we've done what God wanted us to do and had great success, but we're just always one step, because you are a free agent. God will let you do what you want to do, and He'll let me do what I want to do. But if we want the best of God, if we want all of our prayers answered according to His perfect will, then we've got to be willing to not just do what we want in the time that we want, but trust Him that He has what's best for us. Okay. Acts 16, look at verse, they had great success through the first five verses, because verse 5 says, "And so were the churches established in the faith, and they increased in the number daily." See, just because you and I are doing what God wants us to right now don't mean that we keep doing what we're doing just to be doing it. Okay? We've got to be careful. Verse 6, "Now when they'd gone throughout Phygia and the region of Galatia, which were forbidden," notice this, mark this down on your table of your heart, "and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia." Now, you know, every time that you and I do something and the Lord blesses us and it's successful, you know, I have a tendency to want to do that again. You know, and so we see here that they're building the churches, and the church are being added to daily. They're growing and being successful. And I'm sure that Paul looked and he saw the need there. And in his heart, he said, well, what God done in Galatia, he'll do over here in Asia. And so as they make plans and they start to do that, the Holy Spirit comes up inside of him and says, no, no. Now, I don't know and I don't need to know, but somebody needs to hear these words tonight, that the Spirit of God is whispering in your spirit, no, no. And so you've got to make sure that you take heed to this warning, and you know that he's saying no to you on this situation. And if you obey that, he's got something even greater, okay? But in everything in your life and everything in my life, we've got to make sure that we don't settle for second best. Verse 7, and when they were come to Mysia, they swayed, or they had a heart, they decided to try to go to Bithynia. But the Spirit, what? Now this is Apostle Paul. Had the greatest revelation of the gospel. He was taught in the deserts of Arabia for 3 years, just like he had that intimate teaching with Jesus Christ. He had all of these things working in his life, but yet he had a choice to make. Am I going to follow what I want to do, or am I going to allow the Spirit of God to check me? Am I going to allow the Spirit of God to lead me and guide me and direct me? Amen? And so here he is. He has a choice to make. But he said the Spirit suffered them not. In verse 8, and they passing by Mysia came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him. Now, I think this was an angel that was showing Paul in the Spirit what was needing to be done in Macedonia. And they prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Verse 10, and after he had seen the vision, immediately he endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. And we don't have time, but he went into that region and everything was successful. Everything was productive. He had a lot of persecution. He had a lot of trials and tribulations, but there were churches that were founded. There were countless numbers of people that were saved that would not have been, because he would have been out of step with the Spirit of God. You and I tonight, we've got to know that we can be in step with the Spirit of God. Remember, in Genesis chapter 5, Enoch got so in step with the Lord that 365 years he walked with the Lord, and then one day he was not, for the Lord took him. I want to be took, don't you, in the will and the plan of God. And so we're getting to that place and that position, but we've got to know that God's got something better. I don't want us to be limited by looking through things through our own vision, our own understanding, but I want us to be in that place and that position where we follow the Lord with all of our heart. Okay. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I won't hold you, but just a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul starts off in this 12th chapter about talking about that. Well, let's just read it. Verse number 1. It is expedient for me, doubtless to glory, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. He said in verse number 2, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth, such as one caught up into the third heaven. So I want you to imagine, can you imagine being caught up into a revelation like the Apostle Paul had here of the third heaven? In other words, you and I right now, we're in the second earth age, we're in the second heaven age, but there's coming a third heaven age, and it's going to be exactly what God desired. And so I want you to imagine the Apostle Paul, he steps in to eternity, what you and I are looking for, what we're earnestly expecting and desiring, waiting for, and he gets to see the fulfillment of all of God's plan. Can you imagine that? Now, I don't know about you, the Lord can just touch me a little bit and I get so excited. So I can't imagine how excited Paul was, but also, if we're not careful, when the Lord brings a revelation to us, we can get a little cocky. We can get a little prideful. I know something that somebody else doesn't know, or I walk in something that somebody else doesn't walk in. We've got to be very cautious, very careful. All right, so keep that in your mind and drop down, if you would, to verse number 7 for sake of time. 2 Corinthians 12 and 7. He said, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Now notice he says that twice for emphasis, exalted above measure. Let's understand this word exalted before we go on. I hate to cause you trouble, Brother Ryan, but go to 2 Thessalonians 2:4. 2 Thessalonians 2:4, we're coming right back. But I want us just to see the same, the only two, this is only three places, but only other place besides here that this Greek word is used. Now, the Apostle Paul is warning the church about the day of the Lord. He said, "I want you to know that the day of the Lord shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed." And that man of sin that be revealed, this is what he's going to be doing. "Who opposeth and exalteth." Okay, this is the same Greek word. "Opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Now, so this is the man of sin. This is the Antichrist. This is an understanding of what it's going to be like. But I want you to hold that word and that scripture in your heart. Now let's go back. In 2 Corinthians 12:7 again. And Paul says, "Lest I should be exalted above measure." In other words, see what Paul saw. He went through where you and I are now at even. And he went all the way through to all the tribulation. And he went all the way to the coming of the Lord. He went to Jesus setting his feet on the Mount of Olives. And that mountain, every stone that's stacked upon another being turned into dust. Everything falling at the feet of Jesus. He went through, he saw all that. He saw Jesus and all the eternity, all the saints with their robes washed in white, singing hallelujah. He saw all of that. And so here he is. He's in a place and a position with this great revelation that he could be exalted above measure. He could what? He could do what the man of sin did, in other words, because of pride. But now hold this in your heart. He said, verse number 8, "For this thing," but what? The very messenger of Satan, this thing that was hindering him. He said, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice," three times, "that it might depart from me." Now, we're talking about God says no sometimes. We're talking about we want to pray the perfect will of God. Now, this messenger of Satan is an angel. It's a fallen angel. It's an evil spirit. And this word buffet, it means, you remember when you was in school, how especially boys, they'd love to come up and just slap you real hard on the ear? That's what this word means. Because you know how that pushed that air in your ear. You know, you remember what it felt like. And that's what this word means. It means to do that. It means, and then to hit right under the eye. And so I want you to imagine, Paul is saying this is what's happening to him. It's manifesting itself from the spiritual to the natural. But he asked God, he said, "God, I want you to take this away," three different times. He prayed in the name of Jesus. But God wouldn't do it. Because why? Because he didn't love Paul? Because he didn't want him to be exalted above measure. So tonight I want you to see we're trying to cover all aspects of this. I want you to not be discouraged if your prayer is not answered. I want you to be encouraged to be able to pray the right prayer. But I want you to know that God is mindful about where you're at, what you're dealing with. And he has grace for your situation, for my situation, that'll outdo the devil every time. Amen? Verse number 9, "And he said," the Lord said, "unto me," unto Paul, he said, "my grace is, present tense, action, right now, amen, my grace is sufficient for thee." So I want you to see that here's what God could have done. God could have answered Paul's prayer, but if he had done that, he would have had to took his grace away from this situation. So tonight, I don't want you to be aggravated at the Lord or upset with Him about certain things that is not being answered in your life. I want you to know there is a reason behind it. And God loves you and I so much that He's working on our behalf to in ways that we don't even understand. Now see, Paul here, can you imagine where his heart was at? Because, come on now, he went and he looked at the man at Lystra in Acts 14. And he looked at him and he saw, after preaching the gospel, that he had the faith to be healed. He was a cripple. And he said, "Rise up and walk." Come on, he looked himself being stoned to death, shook the stones off of him and rose up and went on to preach the gospel. He had saw great miracles and wonders. And so it would have been easy for him to be stumbled. You and I, we got to help. I don't know who it is. And maybe it's somebody in your life or somebody that you know. But it's important that you get this message to yourself or to them so you will not be stumbled. Amen? Where you'll be strong in this reality. Paul had saw all of those things, but God's grace was more important for God to give him in that situation than him showing, okay, you're praying the prayer of faith. Okay, I want to pray the prayer of faith, but I want to pray the right, faith comes by hearing by the word of God. I want to pray the right word, amen? I want to pray what God would have for me. He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore," he said, "will I rather glory in my infirmities, my weakness, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Now, so God wants us to, everything we do, He wants us to do it by faith, but He wants us to work out of God's grace. Because if we're working out of God's grace, we're going to be able to rest in Jesus. I want to rest in Him, don't you? And so, Paul has prayed a prayer. He didn't get the prayer answered, but he got revelation. So it's my heart's desire tonight that you hear, or you hear for somebody, you help somebody that you're going to come in contact with, and you're able to encourage them and show them, hey, God loves you. It's not that your faith is not working. There is a reason greater than what you're dealing with. God has something more important for your life. It is for your betterment. Amen? Now, there's a lot of, you know, commentaries, and, you know, I don't want to offend anybody, but if you got one that says so, take and rip it out. This is not a physical disease. Anybody that says this is an eye disease, I'm sorry, they're misinformed. Okay? And there's a lot of people that want to put Paul back sick. They want to put Paul back in a malady. And when God sent Ananias to lay hands on Saul and turn him into Paul and his eyes be healed, He healed them all the way. Amen. God doesn't halfway do something. If you want to see what the infirmity in the flesh was, you got to read 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And we don't have time to look at it, but you look at it and you see that because he was going against Satan and his deceitful workers, he was in trials and tribulations. You can read verses 23 through 28 for sure, and you can see all the things that he went through. Everywhere Paul went, the devil, this angel that was there to buffet him, stirred up trouble. I mean, he stirred up mostly the Jews in the synagogues and in the cities to come against Paul. And yes, he suffered physically. In the sense, he had to fast. He was stoned. He was stripes. All of these things happened to him, but it was not an eye disease. So, I want you to be in this place, in this position tonight, that you see that God hears your prayer, but God wants to answer that prayer in a way that is perfect for you, and that is perfect through you. He wants you to be in the place and the position where we don't settle for selfish things. We don't settle for second best. We don't settle. We get in that place and that position where we can have what God's best is. Amen? Now, tonight, I don't know if you really understand how the decisions that you have made that have brought you to this point where you're at with the Lord has opened up so many doors. I mean, you're looking through a glass that is fixing to expand. Not that the glass is going to change, but your ability to be able to see is going to change because of your obedience and because of you trusting the Lord and doing some things that were uncomfortable and some things that originally some of you didn't want to do. God is going to empower you and embolden you, but you've got to make sure that you pray the Word, amen? The Word by the Spirit of God, where you will not step into the plan of the enemy. Okay. So now I know that Jesus said, He said, you can ask anything in my name and I will do it. But we got to hold in our, that's John 14, but we got to hold in our heart that Jesus also said, if my words in John 15 abide in you and you abide in them, you can ask what you will. So the name, asking the name, that's the authority. That's the character. That's the essence of who Jesus is. And so when the Word, when Jesus abides in you, you can ask what you will because it's not your will. When you receive that Word in your life, it changed your will to His will. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for this time, this opportunity. Lord, to the best of my ability, Lord, I have spoke out of my heart what you spoke to me this evening. Lord, I know that there was an urgency on this because you changed the direction that I thought we were going to go in, and there's a reason for it. And so right now, Lord, we just ask that by the Spirit of God that in each one of our lives that you confirm this Word. You let it bear witness with us. You let us hold on to it. And if it's not for us, maybe that you're hiding it in our heart for it to be used in us and through us for someone else. Whatever it might be, I don't know. But Lord, we say yes to you. And we ask that anything in our lives that we may be having to make a decision on, any direction that we're going to have to turn, I ask that you would quicken us and help us to be able to hear from you by your Spirit tonight, to be able to pray the prayer of faith, the faith that has come by us renewing our mind, the faith that has come by us offering our bodies as a living sacrifice, so we're not moved and tempted externally, but we're only moved internally by your Spirit in our spirit. Lord, let it be. We constantly say that no weapon formed against this group of people will prosper because with our tongue we condemn it, we cast it down. We say no to the devil and we say yes to you, Lord. Let it be. Thank you, Lord, for changing us and helping us to just explode into this window of opportunity, this door of success that has been opened. Let it be, Lord, in Jesus' name. Tonight, would you make yourself an altar or come up here, whatever you feel comfortable, and just spend some time with the Lord and let Him speak to your heart. Tonight is the perfect time to be able to pray about some things that you didn't know how to pray about, some things that maybe you had been avoiding. The Spirit of God wants you to know, wants me to know that a no decision is really a decision. A no decision is really a decision. So we've got to make our decisions according to the leadership of the Spirit of God. Would you come and find you a seat in the Lord? Just sit down in His presence, either at your chair or at this altar, whatever you do, and then we'll have prayer. We'll pray for anyone that needs prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God has something for you, and it's greater than you've ever dreamed of, but you've got to get it in the place to be able to see it. Let tonight be the night in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.